It's part of the practice of the liturgical year to have the readings follow one another in a logical kind of way. And then we need to connect what happened last Sunday with what happens this Sunday in the gospel for us to fully understand the meaning of the gospel passage for us. So I'd like to begin by reminding you of what happened last Sunday in the gospel story. First of all, Jesus predicted his passion, his suffering at the hands of the leaders of Israel, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection from the dead. And in the Gospel of St. Mark, which is the gospel we're using this year, that happens three times. So last Sunday was the first time Jesus predicted his suffering and death. And then Peter, the head of the body of the apostles, the first pope, who often represents the whole church in the Gospel of St. Mark, objected to what Jesus was saying. He says, this can't happen to you. This kind of suffering and death and passion can't happen to the Messiah. And in response to that, Jesus said to him, get behind me, you Satan, which must have been a terribly embarrassing moment for the first pope of the church. He was tempting Jesus to live a life different than the life God had planned for him. And then as a lesson from this experience, Jesus spoke to the apostles and gave them a message which is at the center of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. These were his words. Whoever wishes to come after me, and all of us here on this Sunday evening are here because we want to come after Jesus, we want to be his disciples, and Jesus says, whoever wishes to come after me must, there's no option here, it's a requirement, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Four, and this is the reasoning behind what Jesus says. Four, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. So at the heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus is a requirement for us to have hearts that are willing to lose ourselves in the service of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And if we're willing to do that, Jesus tells us, we will have life to the full. So that was last Sunday's lesson. And today's gospel lesson from the Gospel of St. Mark flows from that. So last week we were told a very simple teaching of the gospel, but which is very, very difficult. Not that he didn't tell us that we should think less of ourselves, because it's important for us as Christians to know that we're loved and important in God's eyes. So we're not supposed to think less of ourselves, but we are supposed to think of ourselves less often. And, you know, we're wonderful, but we're not supposed to be at the center of our thoughts, our lives, our planning, everything we do. At the center of our life belongs God, our families and others, and then ourselves. Today we have three readings which have been given to us by the church, which are a gift from God. And the first reading and the second reading help us understand the gospel. The first reading is from the Book of Wisdom, which is a very recent book of the Old Testament. It was probably the last book of the Old Testament, last written book of the Old Testament, written in the second half of the first century before Christ, about 50 years before Jesus was born. And it was written in Greek and not in Hebrew, so the Jewish people don't recognize it as part of the Old Testament. But the early church did, because the early church read and quoted from the Book of Wisdom very, very often. And in this particular passage, The just one of God is described as someone who's going to be persecuted by the leaders of the Jewish community. And so what Jesus says in today's gospel, when he for the second time predicts his passion, his suffering, and death, is foretold in a very clear sense from this passage from the Book of Wisdom. And the lesson is very important for us. It's about Jesus, but it also tells us something about human relationships. It tells us that the righteous one of God, the one who does what God wants his people to do, who lives by God's standards rather than the standards of men or the standards of our culture, the righteous one of God, because of his good example, will be persecuted by those who are sinners, who don't believe in God or don't believe in the gospel. So if you're going to be a faithful disciple of Jesus, like Jesus, you're going to suffer at the hands of unbelievers because your good example makes them feel guilty. And that's what's described in this first reading from the Book of Wisdom. Now, the way some of us act would never make anybody feel guilty, right? And so one of the things we have to ask ourselves, are we faithful disciples of Jesus? Is there something about the way we live that will make those who are sinners uncomfortable? And if there's nothing in the way we live that makes those who don't believe in the gospel uncomfortable, then there's something wrong with the way we're living our lives. Because people who are self-centered can't stand people who are generous. Because in some ways, those who are generous heap coals on those who are selfish. They become envious and jealous of people who are good, and they persecute them. And that probably means if we are envious and upset by the lives of good people, there's something wrong with the way we're living our lives. So that helps us prepare for today's gospel. Our second reading today is from the letter of St. James. And it starts off in a way that connects very closely with today's gospel. St. James says this to the Christian community. Beloved, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. Now remember the disciples of Jesus, when they were coming back to Capernaum with him in today's gospel, were arguing among themselves about who was the greatest. And that caused disorder and conflict in their lives. Just what St. James says here, I'll repeat it once again. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. And to displace that disorder, those who want to be disciples of Jesus are called to certain kinds of virtues in their relationships with others. And those virtues are listed here in this passage from the letter of St. James. Here are the virtues that should characterize the life of a disciple. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. And in the meaning of purity here, it doesn't mean sexual purity, it means purity of intention, that we're not two-faced, that our lives aren't double lives, that we are on the inside what we look like on the outside. So a disciple of Jesus is to have pure intentions, to be peaceable rather than someone who causes conflict, gentle rather than someone who's harsh, compliant, which means we are flexible in our relationships with other people rather than insistent on our way, full of mercy, that we're merciful to others as we want God to be merciful to us, means we're merciful in a very full way. We live lives that are full of good fruit, which means our lives accomplish good in the world. Our lives have some consequences because we're truly good. Without inconstancy, which means, again, double-faced, you know, that sometimes we're this way and sometimes we're that way, or insincerity. So if you want to be a woman or a man who's a disciple of Jesus, and you want to be a person who is full of God rather than being full of yourself, you'll strive for these kind of virtues. Which brings us finally to today's gospel, which comes after last gospel story. So let's look at it closely. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee. Now, you know, it's important to understand this notion of journey in the Gospel of St. Mark. From this moment in the Gospel of St. Mark forward, Jesus is going to Jerusalem, where he will suffer his passion, be crucified, will die, and will rise from the dead. And the Christians in the early church saw the life of a Christian as a journey, not something that's static and stale, but something that's always progressing according to God's plan. Jesus was teaching his disciples and telling them, this is what he said, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." So Jesus, for the second time, is predicting his suffering, his death, his passion. And then this is how the gospel describes his disciples, people like you and me. "But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him." You know, we don't understand the gospel. And unfortunately, we don't try to understand it better. We don't question Jesus so that we might understand, especially when it comes to the difficult teachings of the gospel. So when we look at the disciples in the gospel, we're looking at ourselves. They came to Capernaum, which was the hometown where Jesus did his preaching ministry from. He usually stayed in the house of St. Peter, who had a house in Capernaum. And once inside the house, Jesus began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" So when Jesus was telling them about his own future suffering and his death, what were they talking about? The gospel says, "But they remained silent because they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest." So as Jesus talks about sacrifice and suffering, his own pain, his discouragement, they were full of themselves, arguing about who was the greatest among them. So this is a reminder to us that the tendency of the heart of human beings, even those who want to be disciples of Jesus, is to be concerned with ourselves and to be so impressed with ourselves that we think we're better than others. I mean, it's the natural place where the human heart lands. Then he sat down with them and said to them, now this is the teaching at the center of today's gospel. "If anyone wishes to be first," if you really want to be important, Jesus says, "he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." So what makes someone important in the kingdom of God, according to the standards of Jesus, is not how much money we have or how brilliant we are or how we've changed the world, but what matters in the mind of God, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus, is your willingness not to be first, but to be last and to be the servant of other people. Actually, the word that's used in Greek is the word delos, which means slave. So the way to be important in the kingdom of God is a willingness to be the slave of your sisters and your brothers, of other people. And then to illustrate this, Jesus does something. The gospel goes on to say, "Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arm around the child, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me.'" Now, it's hard for us to understand what Jesus is talking about here, because in our culture, our children are the most important parts of the family. You know, we in some ways make the children the center of our families and the center of married life. But in Jesus' time, children were, in some sense, non-persons. They had no legal rights. You didn't have stature or status in the Jewish or the Roman community until you were an adult. And so Jesus is saying to them, and he's saying to us, you have to take those who are not important, who have no stature, into your life and make them important to you if you want to be significant in the kingdom of God. In other words, we prove who we are as disciples of Jesus by the way we care for those who aren't important in the eyes of the world. As I was preparing for this homily, I read a homily help that was in America magazine, and I read something by a gentleman whose name is Peter Feldmeyer. And he was giving advice to men about the kind of woman they should choose for their wife. And he said to them, when you're dating the woman you think might be your wife and the mother of your children, you should pay attention to the way she treats people who have no status in society, the way she treats waiters and waitresses in restaurants, the way she treats people who are salespersons in stores, the way she treats the janitor in the school, or the way she treats the poor on the street. Because you'll learn from the way she treats them the way she's going to treat you eventually. And Jesus is telling us much the same thing in today's gospel, that the way we treat the least important people in the eyes of the world reveals who we really are, whether we're disciples of Jesus Christ or not, whether we placed him and others in the center of our lives, or that place is so full of ourselves, there's no room for God and there's no room for other people. Listen once again to the words of Christ if you want to be his disciple. If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all. We ask the Lord to teach us truly to be servants of one another.